You are listening to The 945 Show on WFNU-LP, 94.1 FM, and podcasted everywhere. Local music from the Twin Cities.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to WFNU-LP 94.1 FM in St. Paul. We are Frogtown Community Radio. This is the 945 Show. I am your host, Mike Rez, and Bridge Sky is nowhere to be found. The APB is out. Bridge will probably be joining us later on in the show, but we have a great show lined up this morning. We have another awesome in-studio guest. We have Samantha Grimes. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for braving the, we'll just say the cold. The roads aren't as slick as I thought they would be, like you said, too.
Yes, the roads were not as terrible. However, still a little slick.
Yes, So still go slow. Last night at 1 a.m., it was even worse, so it was not fun. So it's like 45 miles an hour on the interstates last night. So, but it is the morning after St. Patty's Day. Everybody can go back to their original nationality now. So it was a little nuts last night. I don't know. Do you go out anymore on St. Patrick's Day?
I do not. I have passed that part of my life, I think, unfortunately. Sounds like everyone had fun as long as they were safe.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, everyone was having fun. I was doing the karaoke thing last night again, and it was a packed bar until 10:30, and then it was like a dead zone.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Did anyone request like Dropkick Murphys or anything?
No. Remarkably, no Irish songs last night.
Wow.
But I do have, so I have three cordless microphones for people to choose to sing with, and they all have a different sock over them.
Oh, okay.
And the green one was the most popular one last night. So.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, and I think every other singer said, well, I'm picking the green one because it's St. Patty's Day, and everyone in the bar would cheer. It
was how original.
Like, yeah, it was weird. So, all right, so this is the 945 Show. We're going to talk to Samantha about music and awards and playing guitars and performing.
Those are my favorite things.
Right. Well, it's a good thing you're
excellent
here.
Excellent subject choice. Love
right.
it.
Right. If you want more information on WFNU, just head over to WFNU.org and you can check us out there. You can find out where we are streaming, when we are streaming, where your favorite show is at, what's going on. You can also find out about Frogtown Tuned In, which is the nonprofit that runs the station. And then you can also download the WFNU app. It's free in the App Store and the Google Play Store. And you can listen to us live on the app, bring us wherever you go on any mobile device. And then you can listen to any of your favorite shows on demand, like the 945 Show. This show will be available after this show is over, and it'll be available for 2 weeks.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and then we podcast as well, so it'll be available forever.
Amazing.
Technology. We had this conversation about technology just before we got on the air, and now you can do anything whenever you want.
That's correct. You will be a part of history.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes. Not only do radio waves continue in their infinite, heading off into space, but so are podcasts. They
That's
never
correct.
Go away.
That's what they all have the aliens listen to eventually.
Right, yeah.
It's so
do
your
you have,
show.
Do you have anything to say to any alien that might intercept this broadcast?
I hope that you enjoy my music. I think some of it may speak to you.
Well, there you go. And if it's not light years away,
It's
still available somewhere.
Exactly. So, you'll be able to find it.
Right, yeah. Just wherever you get your favorite
wherever
galactic
you stream
streaming music.
Favorite galactic music.
Right. All right. So, Samantha Grimes, you're here. You are a singer-songwriter. You're also a Josie Music Award nominee?
Yes, I am.
In the Rising Star category?
Yes, I felt so special. That term, Rising Star.
Right, where you're like, I am rising.
Yes, I've been rising forever.
You just don't want to get on the other side of that.
That's
rise,
right. You know, right? They don't have an award for Falling Star, so.
They should.
You know, I would be very intrigued to see who gets nominated.
You probably don't want to get nominated for the Falling Star.
No, that is not something you want to do.
Right. Now, you've also been nominated multiple times for an ISSA award.
Yes.
And that was for Songwriter of the Year and Entertainer of the Year.
Yep. My single Trainwreck was nominated for Single of the Year.
Awesome.
And they have a Rising Star. They have a Female Vocalist Award. I've gotten nominated several times with that. And the International Singer-Songwriter Association is what that stands for. And ever since my affiliation began with them, they've just been such a vast wealth of resources. And, you know, the awards are just one tiny facet of what they do. So to be involved with that is great. But all their other kind of endeavors have just been phenomenal for me.
Sure. Now, does that association, do you have to, like, join that?
Or how you do. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and it's a free membership. They're, you know, a not-for-profit. And it is... It was the first organization that I joined when I kind of stepped back into music a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Awesome. Do they do, like, award ceremonies?
Yes.
Nice.
Yep. It's usually in Georgia.
Okay.
And I haven't made it physically into one. The first year I was nominated was COVID.
Okay.
And so they did it virtually. And, it's just ever since then, I get to the point where I should be booking a ticket. And I go, oh, it's awfully humid. It's in August in Georgia.
Oh yeah, that's the worst.
And I sweat. So I just thought to myself, maybe we let them have the image of me being a far more presentable human being.
Sure. Yeah. Then they can always do the Samantha Grahams can't be here tonight, but I'll accept the award on her behalf.
That's right. Exactly. That's what I'm setting myself up for.
Yeah.
So.
And that's when you know you're a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody accepts it on your behalf.
Yes. Honestly, that I have a tattoo of that on my ankle, just waiting for it to happen.
Nice.
So, yeah.
And you end up like Joey from Friends.
Yes.
He didn't want to give it up.
Yeah.
You know? He's like,
you just take that award home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got best male songwriter at home right now. So
nice.
Good.
Very nice. Yeah. It's like, hey, I'm just as good.
Yeah. Practice. Right? I mean, call me Samuel. Whatever gets it done. I'm fine.
Nice. Now, how long have you been making music? You said you just started up again.
Yes.
So tell us the story of the before and then.
Sure.
And then
how we
now?
Got to this how, point in time.
Right. Yeah. How did you end up in our studio?
Of course. Well, I got in my car and I drove here.
Nice.
But many, many moons before that, I was five. As we were talking about before, my dad was a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember vividly him putting on Hotel California. And I listened to that track and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, my dad seems so in love with the instrumentation. I'm going to be a guitarist. And I asked Santa that year for a guitar and I got one. And I've been making music ever since.
Nice.
So, 5 years old is when I started. And my first songs were about my rat, Skippy. And, and then it kind of grew into, you know, boys at school that I liked and all this different stuff. And yeah, it blossomed from there. When I was 18, 19 years old, I had a band and we played so many places here in the Twin Cities and had a ball. And then life kind of happened and I realized that I wanted to, you know, have a career. Not that music doesn't pay big, you know, but it was one of those things where I wanted to go back to school and I had all these aspirations and oddly enough, you need money to do it. So I kind of focused on that and started a family and did all that. And I got to the point where all of a sudden I just missed it so much. And I kind of came to the realization that I should put a band back together, start writing again and having a good time with it. And now 4 years later, it's just kind of erupted. And that is how I came here.
Nice. That's how you ended up right here, right now.
And you want to know what significant honor you have?
Yes, I do.
So when I released my first single, and I worked with Tinderbox, and they were doing distribution for me and some promotion work, you were the first radio program to play my song.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I remember that because I did an Instagram post, and I'm like, what's woofanoo?
That's how Siri says it, actually.
Yeah. You know what? I asked her for pronunciation, and lo and behold, woofanoo.
Right. Woofanoo.
But, yeah, I just, and so thank you. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I didn't know I had that honor. That's,
yes. I'll get you a plaque. It's in the mail.
Oh, that'd be great. I need stuff to hang on the wall.
You
know what? I would take a certificate.
Okay.
So
I will, you know, I have a computer. I can make that happen.
Great. As make it look as kindergarten-y as you can.
I'm going to put my handprints on both sides.
That would be actually quite outstanding. So,
so you laugh until in 2 weeks you get until a FedEx.
I get it, yeah, right.
You're like, oh, dang.
Oh, I really got it. Now
yeah,
we got to hang it up for
serious.
We got to
put it somewhere. Put it in the corner of the
right.
closet.
Well, that's cool. Are you originally from Minnesota?
Yes. Yep. I grew up in Forest Lake.
Okay.
Go Rangers. And then lived in the cities for a while, and now I've been in Wisconsin for about 13 years.
Okay.
Followed a boy over here, or over there.
Is the air thinner over in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
And my Minnesotan-ness comes out way too often, so.
Yeah. Well, it's, like, heavier.
Yeah.
They have a heavier Midwestern accent in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you gotta go north, though, to really hear it.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm like the Diet Coke of Wisconsin, you know, where you get to those suburbs. It's like, you know, St. Paul proper. It's just right outside.
Yeah.
So there's not a huge differentiation. But no, I come here and I feel like I'm home. So it's good.
Good. Yeah, it's like we always joke around at work with the guys from Hudson that we just say, well, Hudson's just a suburb of St. Paul.
Exactly.
I mean, it really is.
Yep. I always, oddly enough, I think that all the time.
It's just in a different state.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Tiny, insignificant details.
Right. Yeah. And they come here to work. So, I mean.
Yeah. So who's fooling who?
Right. Yeah. That's what I get. Now, you also won 2 Best of the Valley Awards.
Three. Yes. I'm a three-time winner.
Okay, well, yes. What categories?
Best musician, okay. And best, well, the category doesn't exist anymore, but they had best female vocalist.
Okay. Is it just best vocalist now?
You know, they kind of lumped everything together into best musician.
Oh.
So it encompassed vocalists and musicians of any kind of instrumentation. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's community vote. Based and yeah, the community comes out whenever that goes on, and it's just been a huge honor. And they have the plaque, you know, minus the handprints.
Oh, okay.
So
I gotta add the handprints.
Yes, and in my studio at home, I have them all displayed.
It's now when you say the community votes on, is that like the music community or like
nope, is the entire plethora of the St. Croix River Valley?
Oh, okay.
Yes, I know.
That I wonder how you get on that list to vote. On that, do they send like samples of your work, or do they like send links, or how do they get people to listen?
So you have to be nominated first,
yep.
And I believe the nomination process starts with probably the people that are involved with the organization that kind of have their ear to the community, and then they open it up to community, and you can vote on Facebook, vote on the website, do all that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, they make a pretty big deal about it, and. Yeah, it's just the first time I went, I was like, oh, that's cool. The second time I went, oh my God. Third time I'm like, they're going to tell me not to be on here anymore.
Right. Yeah. They're
going to be like, oh, all Sam.
Right, Sam.
Yeah. Great.
We get it. Yeah, you make music.
Yeah. We're done with you.
Yeah. But you don't have anything to do with the nomination process, right?
No.
You just make music.
I just keep making the music.
Yeah. And
what
people
can I
like
say
it.
If people enjoy it?
Right. Yeah. You
can't
nothing to apologize
for.
For.
My goodness.
Yeah, I would apologize.
But they're phenomenal. I'm very fortunate.
Great. It is now 10 a.m. You're listening to the 945 show on WFNULP 94.1 FM, St. Paul. We are Frogtown Community Radio. And my guest this morning is Samantha Grimes. And we are talking about music. Now, you said Santa Claus brought you a guitar.
Yes.
Did Santa Claus not know you played left-handed guitar at the time?
Santa Claus didn't leave me an instruction manual.
Oh.
Nor the fine people at JCPenney. So I remember I held it up, and it's funny, I post it every year around the holiday season, but there's a picture of me when I held it up after getting it from under the tree, and I'm holding it wrong. And I always think, at that point, someone should have said something like, oh, you got to flip it there, kiddo.
Right.
Nobody ever did. And the guitar was too big for me, so I laid it on my lap. And then as I got older, it finally eventually came up. And then it's been like that ever since.
Are you left-handed at
yes.
anything else? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, left-handed in pretty much everything that I do. And yeah, it was funny because people will say, oh, you play left-handed, you know, is it hard finding left-handed guitars? And no.
No, because I don't look for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I don't look for them. I look for right-handed. Although a gentleman that runs the local music store where I am, he has an efficiency for finding left-handed guitars and converting them to a right-handed setup. So like for an electric, he found me this really cool Hagstrom that he moved all the componentry down to the bottom so I no longer hit my chord or anything like that when I'm playing.
Mm.
And he flipped everything around and strung it, you know, right-handed, and now I can play it no problem.
Well, that's cool to have somebody in your corner that
yes.
will do that for
yes.
you.
So, very cool.
I guess, yeah, I guess not being left-handed and not having to play an instrument the other way, the opposite way, yeah. I guess getting chords in the way is an obstacle for
yes.
people yep. that learn to play that way and can only play that way now.
Exactly. Well, and same with, you know, you've got your potentiometers or your volume knob or whatever, and I would always, on the downstroke, just, all your volume would go down.
Oh.
I did that at the Fine Line one time when I was really young, and oh. I remember the guy looked at me like, what?
The
you're new
guy.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you're,
it's not me.
Yeah, that's
don't
all
blame
on you
me.
There, kiddo.
Yeah, that's when you always are like, oh, yeah, give it up for the sound guy.
Yeah.
You know,
jiggle the cord
yeah,
and turn it off.
Right.
It's fine.
Yeah. Did who taught you how to play, or is it just something you just learned to do, or how?
I would say I had people more inspiring me to play. I learned by ear and messing around and wishing that I was better for the first few years. But I have a cousin. His name is Will Hale. He's a children's musician, so he goes around to schools and does kids' music, and he writes songs. And I remember him coming over to visit on holidays and stuff, and he'd bring his guitar, and I would watch him and try to figure out. Because he played, you know, the standard way. And I would try to see what chords he was playing and mimic them. And then I had a neighbor who was a jazz guitarist by trade. And he would show me. He was the first person that taught me the blues when I was still laying it down on my lap. But other than that, yeah, everything was just trial and error. And I remember one time I was playing something for my sister. And she took my guitar and slammed it into the garbage can.
No.
Yep. And I was without a guitar for a few months.
Oh.
Because I was awful. I don't think I had a coherent song until probably age 9 or 10.
So. Well, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Yeah, I mean, that's I don't know how long, if I started learning to play an instrument, how long it would be till I could be comfortable enough to even let somebody besides my family hear it.
Yeah,
so
that's true. I've always had way too much confidence. Overly obnoxious. Just yeah. Here, listen to the screeching I can create.
When you were playing it lying, you know, when it was lying down on yeah. your lap, was that more like a slide guitar type thing?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, very similar. I don't know if, do you know who is it, Khaki King? That plays, she does like finger style and hitting.
Oh, yeah.
That was yep. kind of the direction I thought I was, well, several directions. My mom wanted me to be a Christian rock musician.
Okay.
She wanted me to write all my songs about God and Jesus and whatnot. And so I was trying to do like this bluesy fingerstyle hitting and being like, yeah, God, you know. And then I did not go that direction. Now
right.
my songs
well,
are about murder.
Well, with lyrics like that, yeah.
So I always think to myself, sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom, I shot the guy in the end of that song.
Right.
Oops.
That's a lot of Johnny Cash. That's a
yes.
Johnny Cash coming out.
Yes,
here, right?
It is.
How old were you when you played your first gig?
16.
16.
Yep. In Roseville.
Was it at the mall?
No, it was at the, what is that, amphitheater? The outdoor one?
Oh, at Central Park?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did that go?
I got to play two songs.
Oh, awesome.
Two of my own songs, and I remember thinking I was amazing. And there's a picture of me holding my guitar, looking all prim and proper, and I think I had a Jewel t-shirt on. I was very into Jewel.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, and that, you know, it's funny, just like any passion that people chase, you get that little taste of it, and you're like, well, this is what I'm doing now.
Yeah, well, at 16, yeah, the world yep. is your oyster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I didn't have my license at that point yet because I had so many friends. I was like, they could drive me wherever. So then I would have shows in, like, St. Cloud or, you know, the other side of the cities or Rochester, and I'd be like, who's giving me a lift? Me and my guitar got to fit in your Toyota Celica, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I just, from that point on, I was unstoppable. I wanted to play as much as possible.
Did you go down the rocket slide afterwards?
I did not.
Oh.
I know.
Missed opportunity.
Yes. One mind.
Yeah. Next time.
Yeah.
Next time you play there.
Next time I will.
What if there was like a full circle happening, and so many years down the line, the city of Roseville reaches out and says, Samantha, one last show at the amphitheater
in
before
heartbeat.
We tear it down.
Yes. My payment will be riding on that slide.
There you go.
Yeah, that's all I will require.
Yeah, that slide has been around since I was a kid.
That
was like the 80s. And it looked so tall
yeah.
back then. And now I think I can get up there in one step. So
think of the infections that slide has caused.
True. The Burns. It used to be an all-metal slide. I don't know if it still is. I would hope that it's not.
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Granted, it's been quite a few years since I've been to that locale. So.
Right. Maybe they lowered it, too. Maybe that's why it looks
that
shorter.
That could be. Or, hear me out, I think we might have gotten older.
No. No, not that.
Oh, okay.
Well, can't be that.
I'm glad that you somehow staved that off.
Right, yeah. I'll tell you the secret after
sweet.
The show.
All right.
So, now, the first time that I saw you live was at the Find Your Stage event.
Yeah.
In September at the Varsity Theater. And ever since then, I've been, like, slowly doing a wave of people that I've met there or seen there.
Yeah.
So, which was, it was a great event. So, Rye, good job.
Yeah, Rye did great.
Yeah. So the first thing that stuck out when I was watching you up on stage is that it just looks like you're having so much fun. Too much fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I have a ball.
Yeah. And every one of your Lime Street videos and every picture I see of any of your performances, you're smiling ear to ear. So are you just having the best time of your
yes.
life every time you perform?
Yes. And honestly, I remember the only time, and I think I still smiled because I'm generally just a happy person, but I remember playing a show when it was like 107 degrees. It was during the summer, and they had us in a tent with no airways. Oof. So it was like you were in a little greenhouse. And I remember sweating so bad that my hairspray had gone into my eyes,
and
I couldn't keep my eyes open. And I think I still was just beaming ear to ear because I love to play music, and I have the fortunate quality that I believe my music is pretty decent. So I think people enjoy it, and the audience, I always get that feedback that people are into it, and that just gets me going. And I tell you, I can't think of a time where I was miserable to be on a stage. I love it that much.
That's, you can tell.
Yeah.
I mean, I hopefully you never lose that.
Yeah, I hope so too. Well, I think the time I lose it is when I probably stop performing. So.
Sure, yeah. But, you know, like you said, you came back to music because
yeah.
you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not going to be like, okay, tell the future. I mean,
yeah.
if you left again, you would probably come back.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep. It's a bad boyfriend, you know, it's just, I'm coming back. But honestly, I think life just kind of goes in waves, and I'm at a very wonderful time in my life where I have security and things are good, where I feel the safety of going out and putting myself out there and having fun and not having to worry about, you know, where I'm going to sleep that night or am I starving? Are they going to pay me? You know, stuff like that. I'm doing it for the absolute pleasure of making music and having fun.
Yeah. You talk about the are they going to pay me part.
Yeah.
I never realized how much of an issue that was.
Oh, yeah.
For artists
yep.
until I got back into radio and doing this. I don't, you know, people, you have to make your music, you have to write your music, you
yep.
have to record your music, and then you got to manage your music.
Yep.
And then you got to do the collections
yes.
of
yes, then you have to be
your
the,
work.
Yes.
I mean,
it's tough.
That's the worst part,
it
right?
It is. It's, and you know, what's really difficult is each venue or each event, anyone that's putting live music on, they all have different ideations of the value of that music.
Correct.
So, you know, I remember when I was first starting out and they'd say, $50, play for 3 hours and we'll feed you.
Whoa.
And I'd be like, $50? That's 3 CDs. I'm in.
Right.
And now, you know, they'll throw a number out there and I'll think to myself, ugh, I don't know. Is it worth the time I have to take off work? Is it worth the gas to get there, the 6, 7, 8 hour drive? Is it the hotel? You know, you have to think of all of these things that impact the decision on the money that you're making or the contract that you're signing. Unfortunately, we've gotten to a point now in, you know, this era where things are a lot more electronic. Things are in writing, which is huge. Contracts are being signed for performances. And I feel like, especially since COVID, that live music event coordinators and stuff like that are starting to really understand everything that goes into putting on a show
mm-hmm.
and starting to compensate musicians or performers in general for the true value of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's huge. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still get thrown offers of come play for 4 hours, but we can only have you do Johnny Cash covers. And yeah. I'll be like, oh no, I haven't played a cover in forever. So those are, you just take with a grain of salt, but I'm very lucky. Now it's not as bad of a problem as it was when I was 19, wait until bar closed to chase down the guy who took the money at the door and saying, hey, where's my cut? Or, you know, they'll go, oh, your band drank it. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Huh?
No, so they drank their part.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't me drinking those Scooby snacks. Right. So come on. But yeah, it's just, it's a whole different ball game, which is, it's really nice. And, you know, another thing too is it's getting safer for women out there in the live music genres. So that's a huge thing too. It's just, it's such a better situation all around. And granted, we got miles and miles to go for everything to feel where it should theoretically be, but things have changed so much for the better.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of the venues around here are easy to work with.
Yes.
They're professional.
Yes.
And, I mean, just helping some musicians book some shows, it's not as hard as I thought it was going to be. Not to say that there isn't people hard to deal with and work with.
Yes.
But
yes,
at least here in the Twin Cities, it's a little... I'm only saying based on my experience, mm-hmm. it's probably a little easier than...
Yes.
Somewhere on the hinterlands.
Oh, I would agree. Although, you know, there are some, I played some really small town locations where they have just treated you like royalty, you
know?
Sure,
yeah.
I always joke, I'll be like, well, you know, in the Twin Cities, I'm a 6, but you go to northern Minnesota and I'm a solid 10. So it's just one of those things where, you know, it's hit or miss every once in a while. You have a difficult person to work with.
Yeah.
But for the majority... You know, it's not as problematic as it could be or was.
Right. Yeah. Usually if a venue has like a group that deals with that part mm-hmm. of it, it's going to go pretty smooth.
Yeah.
But if you're dealing with the owner
yeah.
of anything, you know, they're the bartender, they're the bar back, yes. you know, bar back, they're everything.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, oh, okay, this is going to be,
gonna
be twisting some arms. Now you brought up the pandemic, so we're still getting some music from the pandemic era mm-hmm. around here. So are you still releasing music, or do you have music that you've written and have plans to release?
Yes.
Or are you going to release some
yep.
pandemic era music?
I probably have 12 songs in the docket that are just sitting that I'm trying to time out properly or mm-hmm. perfect a little bit more before they go out. The one that I gave to you to play that comes out April 14th, Your Voice. That one was, I wrote it going into the pandemic right before the lockdown happened, and I kind of manipulated it and got it to the point that I liked it during the pandemic.
Okay.
And then I've played it at shows, and it was one of those things where I thought, you know what? People should hear this. This is a different style than I normally do. And that same goes for Black Eyeliner. That was one that was written during a lockdown where I was sitting in front of my couch and stumbled on this little riff and it turned into that. And we recorded it at IPR when we all had to have masks on and you're like, I'm trying to sing. So it's just, I know that was a terrible time, but honestly, I'll never have those kind of experiences again.
Right.
Hopefully, knock on wood.
Right,
but,
yeah.
It's so interesting. And when I listen to some of these songs, it brings me right back there. And it's like, oh, wow. So, yeah, there's still pandemic era music that's coming.
Yeah. Hey, we're not done yet.
Oh, no.
So
absolutely not.
It's been 3 years and there's still music coming out.
Yes.
From that time.
And if not, there's going to be music written about that time.
Yeah.
And then everyone's going to be like, oh, it's like when they wrote about Vietnam. So
yeah, exactly.
My grandchildren are going to be like, what is that?
Right. So. All right, the time is now 10:15. You're listening to the 9:45 show on Frogtown Community Radio. This is Mike Rez. Samantha Grimes is in studio. We're going to get to some of your music in just a little bit. But tell us, who are the 53s?
Oh, the 53s. So for the last couple of years, I have been playing with two gentlemen, a drummer by the name of Nick Engelhart and a bass player by the name of John Larson. And long before I came into the world, they were best friends since high school, and they went as numerous names, but the 53s was one that kind of stuck for them. And so we were trying to think of a way to make it cohesive, because it is very tough when it's somebody's name, but there's a band involved.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of personalities to nurture and to kind of work from. And that was a good way to, you know, incorporate them so that everything felt as a family as much as possible and still designate, you know, that it's my music that I wrote. And granted, they definitely influence and have created some amazing things, but that's who they are. And, you know, Nick is releasing his own solo album that he's worked on. John is a tremendous producer and yet will not share it with the world, even though I keep begging him to. So, yeah, they're just very gifted gentlemen, and it's a pleasure to know them.
That's awesome. Yeah, they sounded great, too. They were at the Varsity Theater with you.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's what, if it's just Samantha Grimes, and then there's just Samantha Grimes in the 53s.
Yes. Then so, you know what experience you're getting.
Right. Exactly. Now, you were talking about, you know, your music and the way it kind of sounds. It doesn't adhere to a genre.
No.
Right. So is that on purpose or is that just the way your music comes
out? That's just the way it comes out. You know, everybody, especially like when I'm looking to book out of state and do different, you know, locations that are quite a ways away, they go, oh, what genre do you play? And I'm like, eh.
Music.
Yeah, I play the songs. I've, you know, early on it was more pop rock and I was listening to a lot of Ben Folds. My favorite band is Travis from the UK. I was going through a heavy Brit rock phase, like all that stuff. And then I started listening to some country, older country. And you can kind of tell where I was at in a musical sense by what song you're listening to. Because one of my songs, I was going through a Lily Allen phase where everything is like digitized piano. So it's kind of whatever music is inspiring me, or if I hear something, it's hard to explain to people that aren't musical, but I hear it in my head, the way the song is going to sound when it's all done.
Sure.
And I can hear that long before the song's even finished being written. And like I wrote another one a couple of nights ago that I already have the demo done and we're working on the final product. And it's like the second I started writing it, I heard exactly what it was going to sound like after. And so, and that one sounds like cheesy folk rock, you know? So I honestly do not know what I am except for the fact that I write stories in the form of music. And yeah, some of the stories are happy, some are sad, some are murdery, some are,
right, some are dark,
angsty. You know, it's just, I get these ideas in my head for, I used to tell people that when I write music, I come up with the music first and then I think of what part of a movie it would be in. You know?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
And so, like, if it's a minor song with a lot of, you know, angsty rhythm or something, I'm like, well, this is one of those, you know, scary movies where something bad's going to happen. Or I wrote the song Wendy Darling. I, funnily enough, my woman that runs the front desk, she was reading a erotic novel, and it was about Peter Pan and Wendy. And I was like, you know, what a love song. That would be a great love song instead of this very dirty book.
Right.
And so I wrote Wendy Darling, and that was the first lovey-dovey song I had written in probably 10 years. So it's just, they all kind of, I don't know, they all just bleh.
Right.
In the most appropriate
right.
way to say it, they just bleh.
So that, I had a guest on a couple weeks ago. He kind of described his music writing style or his music creating style as like fishing.
Oh, yeah.
You throw the line out there and see what you catch.
Yep.
So you kind of describe that, but in a different way.
Yes, yes.
So I think it's pretty cool how different but the same some of it is sometimes.
Yes, so. Yes, I would agree.
All right, well, let's listen to some music. Okay. We keep talking about the music.
It's all a farce. There's no music.
Yeah. April Fools, everybody. We're going to listen to Your Voice first, and then Wendy Darling, and then we're going to listen to Black Eyeliner.
Sweet.
In that order.
And everyone, no one else has heard this song yet because it's not officially out. This is because you're the first one to play my music, so you get to be the first one to play this one.
Wow. What we'd like to call a WFNU 945 show world premiere.
World premiere, people.
That's right. So you are listening to the 945 show. My guest, Samantha Grimes, and this is her new one, Your Voice, on 94.1 FM, St. Paul.
Over again, my mind rewinds. Blues, baby, blues. But I can't keep this up. No, I can't keep it in. But I don't have a choice. You're my words and I'm your voice. Seem to know where I've been, like you've been there before. You seem to trust that we'll win, even without a score. So right in my bones. This is our secret song, a ballad for us alone. But I can't keep this up. Words, I'm your voice. Yesterday you came to me, took my hand and explained to me your pain. The feelings don't feel right for you, and everybody wants you to behave. But Wendy, darling, you'll be okay. Wendy, darling, and all those nights of sleeping rough, waking up and acting tough, for why? 'Cause people only let you down, break your heart and steal your crown for pride. But Wendy, darling, look, there's a star. Wendy, darling, it's not very far. Mm-hmm. just lost boys you're looking for. Stole a boat and they rowed to shore today. Cause they don't know you like I do, and they won't stay and stick it through like me. I fear missed opportunities. Loving you, I'm on my knees, I pray. Wendy, darling, we have the time. Wendy, darling, we'll be just fine. Wendy, darling.
There's no doubt.
right, that was Black Eyeliner by our in-studio guest, Samantha Grimes. Before that, we heard Wendy Darling and Your Voice, which was a WFNU
World
945 show world premiere.
World.
That was awesome. Thank you
for
sharing
welcome.
That music. Yeah, thanks for sharing your voice with us,
yes.
too. So
I'm excited for that one because it is just so different. And then if some people do a little Google stock and go back in my catalog a little ways, they'll hear a lot more piano stuff that I wrote. Because that's my other instrument.
The piano?
Yeah, they're so close to guitar. They just kind of go together.
I'd say there's a lot of like string instruments that you can convert
yes.
to guitar.
Yeah.
So, or?
To piano.
Piano, that's what I meant, yes. Don't worry, I know what a string instrument is, everybody. Don't text me or anything.
You're going to get blown up.
I just got canceled. That's how what it feels like to say something stupid, I guess.
It's a world premiere of your cancellation.
Oh, there we go. I love that. So are those available on any album or just as singles on streaming services and
so those
fun
ones
stuff?
Are available as singles. I had one EP that was released in 2006, which you can still find in bins at the, like, I don't know, Goodwill. Sure, there's a couple floating around. And then I released another EP in 2019 that had a lot of the piano music, which I love. And if you get a chance to listen to that, Hello, Hello is one of my favorites. And then everything since then has been singles. And I know that a physical album is still something people want and ask for.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something so gratifying about birthing this music baby into the world and being like, here you go.
So you're on the single
yes,
train.
I'm on the single train.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of nice is with these streaming services and like Bandcamp and things. You can release them as singles and here you go. And then that kind of gives you a steady release schedule.
And my producer had a great idea. He said, you know, we'll release single as much as we want, whenever we want. And then I can release like a compilation.
Mm-hmm.
In a physical form so that everyone, you know, that grabs me after a show saying, where's your album? I can say, well, here's a compilation.
These are the singles, the greatest hits single collection.
And I'm going to call it greatest hits because that sounds so awesome.
Yeah, you definitely call everything the greatest hits.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to name my next song greatest hit. That's clever.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, that nobody listens.
Trade
don't worry.
Secret. Okay, excellent.
So, all right. So we have a very special segment here on the show. All of our guests have to do it. It's part of the agreement to come on the show. You were talking about contracts and contractual obligations,
yes.
and this is one of them.
Yes, I remember that fine print that you sent me.
Right. Yeah, it's so small. So you need a magnifying glass on your magnifying glass to see it.
Correct.
So. But before you deliver it, we gotta.
It is now time for the WFNULP Out the Window Weather Report.
I can see by the look on your face you were not expecting the intro.
I was not, and let me tell you, this is the happiest I've been all morning.
Awesome. Okay, so Samantha, all you gotta do is look out the window and tell our listeners what's going on out there.
All right.
It's easy.
Well, it looks to me that it is partly sunny, there are breaks in the clouds, and it is a balmy 15 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow, you almost nailed the temperature, like exactly.
Siri says it's 15 degrees.
Oh, okay. Well, Siri,
what does yours say?
The National Weather Service is telling me 16, but that's at Holman Field, which is the airport just a couple miles from here. So.
Well, obviously, we're cooler here.
Oh, yeah, Frogtown?
Yeah.
This is the best part of the city anyway.
And it's lovely. The view is beautiful. And it's going to be a gorgeous day, I hope.
I do not disagree with anything you just said.
Wonderful. Glad we're on the same page.
All right. For the rest of today, we have some isolated snow showers possible before 11. But that's only 25 minutes from now. So I think we're going to be okay. And then we have some scattered flurries between 11 and 2. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 24. We could have some wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour. So it's going to make it feel a little colder than 24 degrees. But the sun is at such an angle right now that it's going to melt some snow when it comes out. So That's all I care about.
Meteorologist Mike.
Right. You know, you didn't think, you were just like, wow, this guy knows how to interview.
What an enigma you are.
Right? Yeah. Oh, there's more. Oh, are you ready?
Here we go.
Okay. So tonight, mostly cloudy during the evening, and then some gradual clearing with the low around 6. Do you want to hear the winds?
I have waited the last 20 seconds to hear the winds.
All right. Out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Dun, dun, dun.
Tomorrow will be sunny, high near 35. It will still be breezy with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Monday, partly sunny with a high near 37. Tuesday, a slight chance of snow before 11 a.m. and then a slight chance of rain after 11 a.m., a high near 41. So we have turned the corner. I'm going to say it. We've turned the corner in the temperature.
Meteorologist Mike, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Does the National Weather Service say what Wednesday's weather will be like? Because that's my birthday, and I'd like to know.
Oh, well, first off, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes, it does say what's going to happen on Wednesday. Snow likely, possibly mixed with rain before 9 a.m., and then a chance of rain after that. Mostly cloudy with a high near 41 degrees, with the wind out of the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. 60% chance of participation.
Precipitation.
Precipitation. And then Wednesday night is a chance of rain before 2 a.m. And then it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 31.
Wow.
So we're turning that corner.
Much like my song Happy Birthday, which if anyone has heard it, it's not a happy one.
I was going to say, is that one about murder too?
It's about leaving somebody and they're very sad because it happened on their birthday.
Oh.
But the protagonist is the one doing the leaving. So, you know, in all, it's
probably a good thing,
yeah,
then, right?
It's good. Yeah. But much like that song, my birthday sounds like it's going to be cold.
Maybe you could write a Christian rock song about birthdays.
I might have to.
I think you have to.
Yes.
At this point, you do.
And you know what? When I do, you'll be the first to play it.
I hope so.
We've got a trend now. And we have to stick to it.
Yeah. I think we should work out a deal.
Okay.
Where every new song you release, it goes through this show first.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'll put that in the other contract.
Right.
Underneath the weather.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be so? It'd become the Samantha Grimes
release
show.
Yeah.
I'll change the name and everything.
Perfect. Get the branding going. Yep. I love it.
New logo.
Yeah.
Those stickers are out of date than
yep,
I gave
obsolete.
You.
Yeah, obsolete. Might as well toss them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would.
Or collector's item. eBay. Hello.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good
you got to think like a capitalist.
Yeah, I can't do that. It's weird.
It's because you're
open
in
market.
Communications.
Right, yeah.
We're poor.
Yeah, people in communications don't think of anything or talk or
nothing. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, we can't pronounce words. We say participation instead of precipitation because, you know, words are hard.
They're awfully close. That's not on you.
True. And when you're reading fast and you're doing a cold read.
Yeah.
So have you ever recorded a song without... like really practicing the lyrics, like you're just like, you know what, let's just see what happens.
No,
that's probably a good
choice.
Did I
just kill your story?
No, not at all. It's just a question that popped in my mind that I was like, I had to get this question out.
You know what's obnoxious to probably most people, but my songs, the good ones that write themselves within a 24-hour period, they're in my head so deeply that when I go to record them, which is usually the next day because I just have to have instant gratification, I already have them memorized.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, and my brain's always kind of worked like that. There are occasions where when I'm playing live out of the 60 million songs I have in my head that sometimes I'm like, what's the words? I wrote this. You guys know it.
Right. That's when you put the microphone to the crowd.
Yeah, this is totally planned.
Right.
But, and you know what's actually, it's pretty cool nowadays. I was playing at the Fine Line. I opened for Eli Young Band, and it was the first time people sang my words back to me.
Oh,
and that was
that's
so
cool.
And then after it, I thought, thank God I knew my words. That would have been very embarrassing.
That would have killed the moment.
Yeah. It would have taken that limelight away.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah.
But I'm sure that's happened. To other musicians. Not
and
you, but to other musicians.
Clearly not me. But yes, I think, well, you always hear about that, you know, celebrities and what that are in the entertainment industry when they forget their words and all the internet blows up. Can't believe you forgot your words. Well, she probably has a million of them in her head.
Right.
Give her a break.
Yeah. No, you never get a break on the internet.
No, so. No, you don't. Especially, as you know, since you've been canceled.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's, I got to tell you, somebody who's lived through that. It's rough.
Yeah,
so
I can imagine.
You get over it pretty
quick.
You look
though. Great.
Well, thanks.
Yes.
Justin Brodsky of NBC Universal.
Yes.
said that you had some major Atlantis vibes.
Yes.
That's a quote from him, by the way.
Yes, thanks.
Do you feel that you have those vibes? And
yes.
Do you like being compared
yes.
to established artists?
I do, mainly because pretty much every artist I've been compared to has been a compliment. But I remember when that came out during the promo docket for Trainwreck, and then Black Eyeliner came out, and all these ones where I do have a little kind of growl to my voice in the upper registers, and I think that's where they were referencing that Alanis, because people will come up after shows and be like, ah, it sounds like Alanis, and I don't like Alanis, but I like you, you know? So that's been huge. And you know, some of the other people they compare me to as well, it's like, thank you. You don't want to sound like anybody, but yet you want to have a familiarity that people can relate to.
Sure.
So it's one of those things where call me what you want as long as it's a compliment.
Yeah.
Although I remember, and maybe you saw it, I'm not sure how deep of a Google stalk you went on, but when I released my song Believe, which is one of my favorite, like, dorky, happy piano songs, instead of doing all the positive comments I got from people, because that's what I normally do, I listed all the negative ones that people said.
Mm.
They call it boat rock.
Boat rock?
Yeah, they're like, this is
not
a
even
nice...
a yacht.
Yeah, it's boat rock. Or they're like,
that's the Wisconsin.
Exactly. I was fishing boat rock yeah. right there.
You're on a boat. It's a bass boat.
Yeah. Open up a Coke and we'll make a hot dish. But yeah, it's just one of those things where I was reading all these terrible things people were saying. And I thought, how funny it would be to use those quotes as how we present this song. And it did great. Oh, my gosh. Everybody loved it. And so those one of those things. I mean, just like, you know, they're going to tear you apart.
Yeah, right?
But if you're resilient, yeah. it can all come out in the wash.
Have you ever thought about writing a song using the bad reviews or the bad comments?
You know, I saw a TikTok. Gather around, children. We'll talk about the TikTok. Where a young lady, a singer-songwriter, had created a song about all her negative comments on YouTube that people had put on her videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's creative. But I'm going to let her do that because I would be writing the song and you'd catch me on an emotional part of the month and I'd be like, I don't sound like I have pain. It's not traumatic at all.
Right.
I didn't really go through this.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to make you upset over that.
I know. It would just be hilarious. But we'll see. You know, never say never.
Right.
I'm one of those people.
Now, you have a show coming up. You have a lot of shows coming up. One in particular is April 8th that we want to tell everyone about. It's the Songwriter Rounds at Yellowbird Coffee
yes.
here in St. Paul on Selby Avenue. Brought to you by the fine folks at WFNULP 94.1 FM, St. Paul.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. I went to school for that, you know. So you're going to be playing some music. Will you be doing any new songs?
I do. I have two new ones I'm going to debut, and I'm excited.
That's great.
One of my new ones that I'm going to play, because I kind of want to get the audience perspective of it, because I haven't played it live, is one that I debuted on a live stream.
Okay.
And I had people messaging me after asking if they could, like, contribute to a GoFundMe for counseling. Because they thought, they're like, something bad happened.
Oh, my gosh.
Such a good song, though. And we're working on it to get the studio version done. But it's one I want to play live and see if people jive to it or if people pull me aside afterward and ask me if I'm okay. So that's kind of what I'm excited for at Yellowbird.
That would be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. It'll be great. So, are you going to be there?
As far as I know, I should be there.
All right.
I don't think I'm doing anything April 8th, so... You know what? I'll just say that I'll be there.
Wonderful. Okay.
And now it's out in the universe.
Yes.
So
you put it there, and now you're stuck.
Yeah. Where can we find your calendar?
Oh, well, if you go to SamanthaGrimesMusic.com, you can find my calendar, tons of pictures, show information, music information, all my links. You can contact me, get on the mailing list. You'll find everything. But don't make the mistake of going to SamanthaGrimes.com because she's a realtor and not in this area. So I just want to point that out. She gets a lot of messages for people about music.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So you've talked to her
yes.
then.
And what's funny is long ago, in the early aughts, we'll call them, I had the domain SamanthaGrimes.com. And then when I got out of music, I'm like, GoDaddy doesn't need my money. We're fine. And it went out into the universe. And now a realtor has it, and I'm kicking myself that I should have held on to it because she's getting all the invites to shows. And I'm getting tagged for like, ooh, this has an open house on Tuesday. So it's just, it's confusing.
All right. So do you know what state is she living?
I think it's like Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a ways away.
All right. So yeah. Samantha Graham's music.
Yes. .com. Or on all the socials. You can find me, Samantha Graham's Music, on Facebook, Instagram, Samantha Graham's on TikTok, although my TikToks are very boring because I don't understand the platform. Anywhere you can
don't
find
need
me.
To.
Yeah, I just, they'll do the filter of like, ooh, what will you look like as a teenager? That's the stuff you're going to see there, so don't even go there. And then Twitter is Upside Down Lefty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
creative, eh?
Twitter, how do you describe Twitter to people? If someone were to ask you, what is Twitter, and you had to explain it to them?
Thoughts that I want to put out in the universe because I think they're funny, but I don't think anyone will ever see. Okay. They're quick thoughts. That Twitter for me is like an outward version of my brain. I follow, the only time I'm on Twitter for not tweeting my own thoughts is to follow people like when the Walking Dead series finale went on.
Sure.
Or like The Last of Us, seeing what people thought. I connect that way. But I don't know. Twitter's been around forever, and I just tweet.
Yeah. See, I would, if you want to know kind of like how TikTok is, I would say TikTok is Twitter, but with video.
Yeah. That's
kind of like Vine, you know, when Vine was.
Vine. God bless Vine.
Rest in peace.
Yes.
Vine.
Did you ever see that? You probably did if you studied communications. They had that poster that described every version of social media as a donut situation. And it was like, here's a picture of my donut. And then, like, Facebook was thinking about donuts.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I did.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
So, yes, whenever someone
Why don't
asks
you
me,
like donuts?
Yeah.
That'd be Twitter.
And then it's like Parler. It's like, donuts are the devil. So it's just it's one of those things that people ask for, oh, you know, you're on this platform. Yeah, I think so. But I'm really there.
I don't know.
I'm really there just to hear what other people have to say on occasion.
Right. Go to my website.
Yeah.
And go to the bottom, and all the icons are there.
Yes.
And click on those.
Click on the thingies, and you will find the stuff.
And it'll link you right to wherever you need to
right
be.
Right there.
So, is there any venue that you haven't played yet that you really want
First
to?
Avenue. Hello. Okay, so let me just tell us out into the – you're manifesting things?
Yes.
Like you said that you're going to be at the show on April 8th. I'm going to manifest, if anyone's listening that has the power, I want to play in the main room at First Avenue. I've played the entry. I have been to First Avenue in the main room to see many a shows, but I've never had the honor of being on that stage and playing. And you know what? You could just let me on there and then kick me off 2 seconds later. It's fine. I don't know if the pathetic word is the right choice, but I contacted First Avenue because I thought, what if I reserve it for a wedding, quote unquote, and I pay money. I say, I'm going to have my wedding there. And then instead, I throw a concert.
Oh.
They caught on to that so fast. They're like, we see what you're trying to do, musician.
What are you talking
about?
You have
to go through the proper channels, child. And I'm like, dang it. I was ready to drop a few G's on getting my dream to come true. Oh, well. So anyway, that is the venue I would like to play. There's also, if we're going for a major deep dive on the dream there, I would like to play at Red Rocks Amphitheater. Gorgeous.
That's actually my next question was, what about Red Rocks? If you didn't bring it up, I was going to ask you about that.
Like I said, I think we might have been separated at birth, oddly enough, in different times, but that's okay. Yes, Red Rocks Amphitheater, because, oh my gosh, can you imagine a more beautiful venue and place to look at and to see music? I think that would be amazing. And then the only other place would be the stage at Austin City Limits.
Okay.
I grew up watching Channel 2 and seeing all the Austin City Limits and being like, oh, that'd be so cool. So those are kind of my bucket list ones. But for a local girl like me, First Avenue, for sure.
Right. So you played 7th Street. You played the Fine Line.
Yep.
Have you played Turf Club?
Yep.
Okay.
I've checked all the boxes.
Of that group, yeah.
Yes, of that group. And, you know, I feel bad for their booking agents because I'm just like, hey, what are you guys up to? Anybody that matches my style? How's life? How are the kids?
Well, that's what you got to do, right?
Yeah, you got to be your own advocate.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone always asks, oh, do you do your own booking? Yes. I'm not beyond using a fake name and acting like I'm from some sort of management company.
Right, yeah.
Yes. My talented star will be with you shortly. But yeah, it's just that's how you got to get it done, and I'm gonna get it done. World,
you like change your change the initials around. I'm Jamantha Symes.
Yes.
I'm not Samantha Grimes. Come on.
Yes, I am Leanne Rhymes.
Right.
Oh wait, that's been taken.
Yeah. There's a realtor with your name. It's
that's
fine.
Right.
It's
You're
fine.
Right.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So, do you have any albums or anything like that in your future besides the Greatest Hits album?
Greatest Hits compilation.
Is that the like that's the plan? Is the Greatest Hits?
That is the plan. But I'm going to tell you my childhood aspiration for an album.
Okay.
So, with my dad being in DJ excitement, he always talked about album-oriented rock and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I had this idea that I was going to, and this was in my Christian rock phase, I had an idea that I was going to have an album which every song is one of the like pillars, like greed, avarice, like all that kind of stuff.
Oh, like the seven deadly sins?
Yes.
Nice.
And I thought, oh man, this is going to be so cool. So slowly in the back of my brain, in the jump drive of my subconscious, I am putting away these songs for my Seven Deadly Sins album.
That'll
someday.
Be, there you go.
Yeah.
We have, there's a local artist, electronic artist, Gehenna Saga.
Yes.
He did the Four Horsemen album. So he released four separate
yes.
albums just like that.
You know, I remember seeing somebody did a review on that. And I don't remember equating it to my dream. And I'm glad you made that correlation.
Yeah.
Because now that's all I'm going to think about on the ride home.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. And listen to that music.
Yes.
So John's a good guy. John. Who's Gehenna Saga did that.
Really?
Tattoo, yeah. That's my BA tattoo.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm actually, he doesn't know this, so John, if you're listening, I want to get a whole band of like skulls that look like that around my arm.
So John, if you're listening, my BA tattoo, I have, so I'm part Russian. And so this is, Eto tosh prodyot, it's this too shall pass in Russian. And this is supposed to be an owl, but it's not filled in.
Mm.
So, John, if you want to fill in my owl, and that's not a euphemism, I have a tattoo job for you. And everyone keeps asking me why I have a Pikachu on my arm.
Interesting. I see that
I
now.
I get that a lot. Sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I make a sad face with eyes just so I can point and be like, don't ask me. It's a
right,
sad
yeah,
day.
I've got a
my Pikachu says it's sad.
I've got a sad Pikachu on my
yes,
arm.
A sad Pikachu. So, there you go, John. I'll listen to your music, and you can help me finish my owl tattoo.
There you go. He's at Black Coffin.
Perfect.
So it's not too far from here. And it's in St. Paul.
Hello, St. Paul.
Yeah.
I guess I have my plans before the Yellowbird show.
Yeah. We got to make this happen.
Yeah, I'll have a big bandage on
right.
here, and I'll be like, I can't bend my arm.
Yeah, sorry for the blood, everybody.
Yeah, sorry for the goo.
Yeah. This goes into my next song, though.
Yeah.
It's called Sorry About the Goo. So you'll get, you're going to leave here with so many great ideas. You're not going to be able to get them all done.
Literally, I cannot wait for when you sue me for controlling royalty rights.
I'm not Taylor Swift. I'm not going to do that.
Fair. That's fair.
So, I mean, I could. This is a complete waste of time, though, if I did that.
Yeah. That's fair. What are you going to get out of it? My Grimes t-shirt? That's all you're going to get.
Yeah, well, it's something, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. So, all right. So tell us again where we can find your music. Before we wrap it up, I don't want to ask that again without getting that information to people.
Of course, it's a standard interview closing procedure. So
can you tell I've been trained classically?
Yes. You know, what a guy. I would say that you could do a little Google for the name Samantha Grimes and then go past the realtor and you'll see all of my music that comes up. It says I'm a singer-songwriter. Wow. Or you can do SamanthaGrimesMusic.com. You can do Samantha Grimes Music on Facebook, Instagram, Upside Down Lefty on Twitter, or Samantha Grimes, which is the video version of Twitter, on TikTok. All of the above, you can hunt me down. And if you sign up on my website for my mailing list, more often than not, you'll get a response from me from my actual email address, which is probably some intro to stalking, but I'm at that point where I just want to connect with people.
That makes a difference.
Yeah, people like it.
Yeah. Are you on Bandcamp as well?
I am. Only because sometimes I put stuff out there under, I have a false pseudonym.
Ooh.
And I'll try stuff out on people.
Gotcha.
And then they'll be like, oh, no.
That's not going on the Greatest Hits.
Yeah, no, Samuel Rhymes. This is not good.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
It's My pleasure.
Yes, and go out and listen to your voice April 14th?
April 14th, day before tax day.
All right. So go out and listen to that. If you missed any part of the show, it'll be available via podcast later on today. Thank you for listening to the 945 show on WFNU. We'll see you next week.